When I saw that typewriter, I was reminded of my senior year here at Fairhaven. I don't know if Mrs. Varner, where she is. But I learned on one of those type. Well, it was older, not that type. That was looked like a modern typewriter. But I had a thought going through my head as he was doing that. I remember in our senior class, we were doing time writings or whatever that stuff was called. I think I got up to like 10 words a minute or something like that, or an hour, or I don't know. But we were doing these things, and I hit the carriage, I think it's called. I hit the carriage, and I hit it too. I was, you know, trying to go fast. I hit that thing went flying on the floor. And I still hear Mrs. Varner, "Todd, write!" I looked at her like, I thought I was dead. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know. Things were old back then. That's what I was reminded of. Turning your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We are thankful for our Christian school. I know I don't have to convince the majority of people in here about the need of Christian education. But I came across this, or someone gave this to me, Rules for Teachers in 1914. Rule number one, you will not marry during the term of your contract. Number two, you're not to keep company with men. Number three, you must be home between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. unless at a school function. Number four, you may not loiter downtown in any of the ice cream stores. Number five, you may not travel beyond the city limits unless you have permission of the chairman of the school board. Number six, you may not ride in carriages or automobiles with any man except your father or brother. I don't know about the husbands, but... Number seven, you may not smoke cigarettes. Number eight, you may not dress in bright colors. Number nine, you may under no circumstances dye your hair. I agree with that. I'm teasing. Number 11, your dresses may not be any shorter than 2 inches above the ankles. Number 12, to keep the classroom neat and clean, you must sweep the floor once a day, scrub the floor with hot soapy water once a week, clean the blackboards once a day, and start the fire at 7 a.m. to have the school warm by 8 a.m. when the scholars arrive. How many would sign a contract like that today? That was Rules for Teachers in 1914. I think we can say we've come a long way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have together, God. We thank you for our school. Father God, as I said, I know we don't need to be convinced, God, of the need for Christian education, Father. But as we speak, I pray that it be just a short reminder, God, of the blessings that we have of having Christian education. So, Father, please bless this time. Please meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian education. I was introduced to Christian education now, I think it's been 37 years ago. I was introduced to the Fairhaven Baptist Academy. I came to school in the ninth grade, and it was a shock to me. I came from the public school system, came here to school, and never forget some of the first days of school. And I know I've said this before, but what a shock it was when the teachers went over the rules. Some of the rules, you know, you have to say sir and ma'am. yes, sir, no, ma'am. I didn't know what that was. You had to be polite, and you had to stand up when the teachers came into the room, and you had to do so, you know, these certain things. And I came in the ninth grade, and at that time we had to wear ties to school. And I had two ties. I had two clip-ons. I had a blue one and a black one, and I hated them. Okay. I wanted to quit school my first week because of that tie, but my mother made me continue on. I'm so glad she did. But I didn't understand the need. I didn't understand what Christian education was. Didn't understand really who God was. And one of the reasons, and I'll talk about it later, is because I wasn't saved. But I didn't understand it, didn't really know why Christian education was so important. So to get into the sermon tonight, I want to look at the reason, the responsibility, and the results of Christian education. The reason, responsibility, and the result. First of all, the reason for Christian education. I think it's very, very obvious to do a little short lesson or just a reminder. We know because of the fall of man, Christian education is needed. Man was created in the image of God, but the fellowship was broken when man sinned. Our world is so bad. And as we look at that that fall or that broken fellowship, as we fast forward it to today, we see an erosion of so many different things. But especially today, the erosion of morality. And if there's one reason why Christian education is very needed today, is because of this erosion of morality. It is so bad today. The report of violent crimes are going up. Teachers are afraid to teach. The drug use is unbelievable. We're told that in the schools that heroin and meth, they were telling us, meth is just out of control. It's just out of control. And as we look at this, we know one of the main reasons for this is because of humanism. In our schools, we've said that man is number one. Man is most important. And that is the philosophy of humanism. And that is the philosophy that's in our secular education. And look at what is being offered because of it. I often said if some of the things that parents tell me that are happening in public schools, if some of the things are true, a lot of schools ought to be shut down. And it's not because of the education. Is because of the erosion of morality and the things that are happening in the public schools. It's unbelievable. One of the kids on my bus told me, she said, "Mr. Todd, some of the girls in our school, they think it's cute to be pregnant." And you think about that, and you wonder, you have to say, is this what we're producing? Is this what we're producing? But God in His mercy and grace has provided a way of restoration through His Son. What takes place? We know. The Bible says, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And that's what happened with me back in 1978. I got saved. And as I said, I didn't understand what Christian education was. I didn't know what the need was. My bus captain saw that I was trying to do right or being faithful to church, and he didn't know that I wasn't saved. He thought I was. I did make some professions. I made a few of them. He thought I was saved, and he provided a way for me to come to school. But it wasn't until I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my eyes started to open that I realized the importance, that I started to realize the importance of Christian education. The foundation of Christian education, we know, is salvation. There are many intellectuals that don't understand this. And we say, why don't they understand this? And I think we know. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 14, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. How can they understand it? There may be some in here that don't understand what the need of Christian education is. Well, first of all, in order to even comprehend it, even to start to make sense of it, you have to be saved. The Bible says if you're not saved, you can't understand it. You're spiritually discerned. We can try to figure it out in our heads, but it starts with salvation. I didn't understand that, but I'm glad I got saved. And I'm glad that as we look at this matter of why Christian education is so important, we're not down on our kids that go to the public schools. We fear for them. And we fear for them because of the philosophy. The philosophy and what they're being taught. And why they're being taught what they're being taught. And there's really nothing that parents can do about it. We see the, first of all, the reason, but second, we see the responsibility of Christian education. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Genesis 18:19. Jesus says, I know him, that he would command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Whose responsibility is it for Christian education? God clearly shows me that it's my responsibility. Thank God for Timothy. He had a godly mother and grandmother who from a child taught him the scriptures. Who from a child taught him. If you want to know why Christian education is needed, read 2 Timothy chapter 3. You'll see why Christian education is needed. And here we see a young man who Paul said from a child was taught the things of God. God shows us that our responsibility of Christian education is ours. We're responsible to train them. And we know that it's an awesome responsibility. It's truth. I want to have some say in what's entering into my kids' minds, especially when they're young and those little sponges. I don't want a secular, I don't want a humanistic philosophy entering into their heads as a young child. We want a godly philosophy. We want teachers that uplift the creator and not the creature. That's what we want teaching our children. And we know today in secular education, that cannot happen. That cannot happen. According to a University of Wisconsin historian, this describes a popular religious belief and service of today. Christianity, this is what he said, Christianity in modern America is, in large part, innocuous. It tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility, an otherworldly outlook, a zeal for souls, a fear as well as love of God. There is little guilt and no punishment, and the payoff in heaven is virtually certain. This is what's coming out of our secular colleges. That's trash. It's wrong. We have to understand that our responsibility of our kids' Christian education is ours. It's ours. And what has God given us as parents? God has given us a great church. He's given us a great church. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock." You say, what's important? Our church is important. Our church is important. The church is the safe keeper of the truth. We know the Bible is under attack today. It's under serious attack. Some statistics. Only 4 in 10 Americans know that Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. The majority of citizens cannot name the 4 Gospels of the New Testament. Only 3 in 10 teenagers know why Easter is celebrated. 2/3 of Americans believe there are few, if any, absolute principles to direct human behavior. 3 of 4 Americans and nearly half of born-again Christians believe the Bible teaches that God helps those that help themselves. Self-reliance, they believe. That they are the center of things. That it is up to us to determine our destiny, and that God is merely our assistance. 93% of Americans own one Bible, and most own more than one. 93%. And we say, wow. We have to keep our church strong. We have to keep our church strong because it's the pillar and ground of truth. We can't compromise. We got to continue to guard against the worldly attack. The world needs us to stay strong. It needs us to go out and reach them. If we're ever going to change, if America or if the world ever is going to have a chance, it's because of a good, fundamental, Bible-believing church. And if we let this go, so goes everything, as we see what's happening today. And I thank God that we have someone on the tower here looking out for us. I thank God that we have people watching out for us here in our church and our kids and their education. But then we see, last of all, the results of Christian education. Paul said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We know man today is very interested in getting degrees. We go after our MD degrees, PhD, RNs, and masters. And I'll be honest, when I go to a doctor, I want that doctor to have an MD. At least the MD. I don't know what else he may have. But I did go to the doctor not too long ago, and I had to fill out a questionnaire. And, you know, a couple of questions was, do you get tired in the afternoon? Yes. Do you have a hard time getting up sometimes? Yeah. Do you like eating leftovers? And I turned it in. The doctor came in and sat next to me. And the doctor said, "Well, I see you have depression. So you're suffering from depression." So, what? Well, I said, "I have 3 kids." I don't know if that's it. But I want a doctor to have a good degree. I want to walk in the building and know it's going to stay standing because some engineer had a degree. We know degrees are important. But the most important degree that any of us could ever get is a Christ-like degree. And I'm thankful that we have people here. We have doctors here that have letters behind their name. But I know something. They're more concerned about having a Christ-like degree. Because what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he lives 70 years and make millions of dollars, billions of dollars, and he loses his own soul? No. I want the Christ-like degree. I want my kids to have a Christ-like degree. What comes with this degree? Salvation. Eternity. What comes with this degree? A heart for souls. A friend night on Sunday where you can go out and invite people out to church. What comes with this degree? Promises from God. Untold promises. What comes with this degree? Peace that passes all understanding. What comes with this degree? Crowns in heaven. What comes with this degree? One day when we step before God and God says to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want my kids to have a Christ-like degree. I want them to know what they believe and why they believe it. I think degrees ought to start out with being like Christ. C.T. Studd wrote, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And part of the last stanza that he wrote said this, "And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee." I'll tell you what, that's a testimony, isn't it? That's a testimony. As I said, and I know I got some bus kids here. We're not against our public schools. There's public school teachers in here. But it's the philosophy. We've kicked God out. And look what's happened. We've kicked God out. I was just talking to a lady today. She was about 60 or 70 years old. Said she went to a Lutheran church. Must have been an old-fashioned Lutheran church. She said, "I've been reading in Ezekiel." She said, "Some preachers need to start preaching some hellfire and brimstone messages because this country is in bad shape." In bad shape. She says, "I'm glad I'm saved." Christian education is needed. And we need to guard it here and be thankful for it here and not take it for granted. God has been so good to us. God has been so good to us. But the light can be taken out if we're not careful. Let's thank God for our Christian school.